thinking this morning, church is very empty today. But from up here, it still looks very full. Let's start with a word of prayer. Precious Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and I especially pray, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, Lord, to speak the truth out of your word here, Lord, to the people here. Lord, help me to break the bread of life, that it would give nutrients and nourishment to the hearers, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we just pray that you would bless everyone here. Help them to have open hearts and ears to what you have for us here, Lord. I pray against distractions, the devil, and anything evil, and just pray for your Holy Spirit to abound. And we pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk about one of those rules that Jake was mentioning there. So, in some detail, I don't know how great of detail. For some, it might be too much. For some, it might be too little. But I want to talk about the tongue today. It's something that, well, there's many different definitions for tongue, but it all has to do with that great big huge muscle that we have inside this hole right here. It's speech, it's language, it's a muscle, but it all kind of zeroes down on the same thing. And it's such a little thing, but it makes such a big difference in how we use it and what we do with it. There probably aren't very many things in life that will have such a big effect in our life as that. So, and that's why I think it's very important for us to talk about it and how we use it. So, as a youth, I was fairly free with my tongue, and when I say free, I don't mean as in liberating, I mean as in careless. So, I was never really good at English, but I knew a lot of adjectives, and I knew where to use them. And I just found that when I got saved, that was a part of my life that had to go. And I took it very seriously, because I looked at different scriptures. I'll be spending quite a bit of time in James today. But I looked at the different scriptures that talked about the tongue and what that all represented. And I just said to myself, I said, you know what? This is very important. And I also really examined my life and the use of those adjectives. And it was not that it brought me anything except maybe people thought I was cool. Right? Some of you are like, whatever. Or maybe people thought I was sick. Or goat. Some of you are probably just thinking, what's he talking about? But I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. And these are some of the words that have just taken on their own meaning. And I want to challenge us here on how we use our tongue. Philippians 2:11 says, "And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's what your tongue is created for. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." And if I think about that verse, bridleth not his tongue, and we talk about, Brother Jake talked about deception. Isn't that a scary thought, that we can deceive ourselves? It's a very, very scary thought to me. that I can deceive myself. And I'm just like, I want to take these things seriously. I want to take those rules that Brother Jake talked about, because I want to be in that cloud of grace. So I want to take it seriously. And something can seem like it's not that serious. But if you really think about it, could you go swimming in a sewage pond and not smell like you did that after, without showering first? Have you ever been on a job site, in a workplace, or around people where after you talked with them for a while, you felt like you needed a shower? Because it literally felt physical, the stuff that was coming out of their mouth. It was so filthy. And it felt like it was stuck on your clothes. If you've ever experienced that, keep your hands down. You all know what I'm talking about. So the main context of what I want to go into is here is in James chapter 3. And I'm just kind of going to go through it and interject some thoughts and different things. So if you have your Bible, please go there. And I would amen to what Jake said. I don't know if Jake said this, but I would also advocate for a physical Bible with pages. There's just something, the way this interacts with your brain, that's different than the way a screen interacts with your brain. There's a chemical thing that happens there that scientists have proven. And people addicted to their cell phones are the only ones that are probably trying to disprove that without science. Just a food for thought. So, starting in verse 1 here, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body." And if we look at those scriptures, and we take them seriously, it says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." And I always thought perfection was unattainable. Later on in my Christian faith, I changed my mind on that, and I've changed my mind on what perfection looks like. Perfection isn't doing things perfectly, but it's more about the response to the things that we do wrong. That's where perfection is. And it says here that if any man not offend in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. And if we allow ourselves into that thought, controlling a tongue is no small task. It takes effort. Often, the things that we say will hurt people. And we might not even have known that this person got hurt. And in honesty, we didn't do it on purpose. We did not do it on purpose. And there's so many different things. If we take a look at the things that we say and the reactions that we get, it all kind of comes together. If we look at, and it starts when we're young. How often isn't, I don't mind a good laugh either, a joke or whatever. But sometimes, you know, you can have people that have had a rough childhood or whatever, and certain jokes aren't funny. Often when someone jokes about something, they joke about their own securities. And I'm just going to be like really raw here. Often, usually the people who have the most fat jokes are people who are overweight. And it's because they're insecure about their weight. And that culture needs to die. Okay? It's not profitable. It's not accepting. It's not something that will encourage you. It's not something that will allow you into that cloud of grace. making fun of yourself. And some of you are probably thinking like, to me it's just funny. I really don't care. And I would say I highly doubt it. I challenge you to examine your heart in that. And I've given you one example. I can use myself as an example. Yeah, I'm bald. I know that. I see it every day in the mirror. I don't need anybody to remind me. So, and if you do remind me, that's fine. I've gotten over that. But it gets really old really fast. So, it's another one of those examples where, you know, if we take those types of things, and now let's make it a little bit more tangible, where it means a little bit more. And we're gonna go back to the younger years, okay? On the playground outside. Let's say there's somebody that's out there. We're having a game of soccer or whatever, and there's somebody that's got really bad eye-hand coordination, foot coordination, like this person almost trips when they walk. You know what? We're going to teach them a good lesson. We're going to tease them, make fun of them. They'll straighten out, right? It'll get worse. This is our tongue that we're talking about here. Do you see how the tongue affects so much of our life? I know this because I was that guy. I hate's a strong word. I hate sports. You know why I hate sports? Because when I was young on the playground, what I associated sports with was people making fun of me. And it's with me till this day. One of my biggest struggles in life, if you want to call it a struggle, is to enjoy sports. That takes a tremendous amount of effort. It takes more effort for me to participate in a game of sports than it does for me to sit in a two-hour prayer meeting. And I know it shouldn't take any effort for us to sit in a two-hour prayer meeting, but I'm being honest here with all of you. And it's because of what was said to me when I was younger. And sorry, I'm not unique in this. I used to think I was, but I'm not. You may say, "Oh, Henry, that's just you." No, it's not. I've helped enough people already that I know this is not. It's not unique to me. Rather, that more people feel this way than don't feel that way. That's the truth. So, as parents, our responsibility. And by the way, the message that I have here this morning is for me just as much as it is for anyone. So please don't think that I got this thing nailed down. As parents, we have a responsibility to make sure that the things that our children say is profitable. We have to make sure that our children, when they're out on the playground and little whoever, try hard not to pick names that are in the congregation, because the devil will always get in there and say, "Hey, he's really talking about me. He used my name." So I try not to mention names that we have in our congregation. But whoever, just think of someone out there on the playground, can't play soccer, can't hit the ball. Everybody's laughing at him, her. That person will not be motivated. That person right there, if that continues, that person will likely not turn into a very motivated person. Because it's likely not going to stop when they're a teenager. It's going to continue. Unless somebody comes alongside and says, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you and I go over there and we'll just practice hitting the ball. We'll just start with baby steps. We'll just practice hitting the ball." That is going to make a world of a difference. we're still talking about the tongue here, okay? Because we're using our tongue to do all of this. This is what our tongue does. You see how the tongue affects every facet of our life. The tongue is so closely connected with our actions, with our heart, with our thoughts. It's one of those rules that Brother Jake was talking about. How is it with, we'll go back to us grown-ups now. How often don't we, a while back we had a children's lesson and we talked about one-upping each other. I think we know what that means. That used to be something that I really enjoyed. Having, that was a way that I could get back at people for what they did to me, was to be snarky. And I really enjoyed it. And I got really good at it. I got so good at it that a lot of times I didn't even notice I was doing it anymore. And I really hurt some people. I can remember one time, this was only a few years ago. We were going to a trade show. I went to the booth. It was all pre-registered, so we had to go get our name tag so we could get in the door. I was there at the table getting my name tag for myself and my employees. And my local district manager was there for the store that I deal with. And she knows what kind of person I am. We've had enough conversations. There was a testimony there that she held of me. And up comes one of my old colleagues, and he says, "Hey man, you look like Mr. Clean." Without a thought, I said, "Yeah, you better watch your mouth or I'm going to use you as a mop." I don't know if you know who Mr. Clean is, but that'll only make sense if you know that. That lady stood there with her mouth open. She had never heard words like that come out of my mouth. Did I glorify God? Man, I sure upped that guy, didn't I? He never said anything about it all the rest of the night. Actually, ever again. I don't think I've talked to him many times since. He's never said anything about it again. He obviously knew how I felt about it. But how do you think God feels about that? If a man not offend not in word, same as a perfect man. I just don't see Jesus using language like that. I just don't see Jesus doing those types of things. And now this is just a thought. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying this is a thought, okay? Did you ever think, when you talk about the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues and everything as it relates to in Corinthians there, 11 and 12, did you ever think that maybe the reason we don't speak in tongues a whole lot is just because our tongues are so unbridled and uncontrolled that God just can't use them? Are we willing to accept that and do something about it? We might say, "Well, I'm really not that bad. I don't swear. I'll get into some of that later." But what about all those other things? The things that we normally just don't even think about. Continuing in verse 3 here, it says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I look at those two examples of horses and ships. Obviously, that would have been, you know, that would have been the examples they had back in those days. And I think something that we'd be a little bit more familiar with would be a steering wheel. If I was to take the steering wheel out of your car, is your car useless? No, brother, you can't have a vice grip. You know what? I challenge you to try that. Don't do it on the road. Don't go over 20 kilometers an hour. But I think for most of us, we'd say, well, if it doesn't have a steering wheel, I'm not going to drive it. But it's, compared to the rest of the car, it's small. It's not really that big of a deal. But yet, it does so much. Think about transport trucks. They have this steering wheel. The steering wheels are a little bit bigger because you need a little bit more mechanical advantage. But still, think about all that weight, all that motion going down the road. Now all of a sudden, poof, that steering wheel's gone. Now what? Sure, you got brakes, but you still need the steering wheel. Unless your load and your brakes and your coefficiency of friction at all those wheels are all exactly perfect, you hit the brakes and you can go in a straight line, which is generally not the case. Not for most production cars. It might be on a high performance, something like a Bugatti or something, but most cars, they're not balanced that well. Especially not in southwestern Ontario where you have salt, changes your coefficiency of friction. You need that steering wheel to hold this thing straight when you're going on the brakes. Very important. Now let's take a look at our tongue. How many of us would testify, you can keep your hands down if you agree, that's how I get more participation. How many of us would get into a lot less trouble if we didn't have our tongue? Do you all agree? It's very interesting how I think most of the issues in our life revolve around our tongue and how we use it. It's like, I said this, possibly offended brother or sister so-and-so, and I, you know, didn't really mean it that way, so I got to go and apologize and just clarify. And we talk about the importance of communication. Communication is very important. Well, a lot of times your tongue is required for that. You might say, well, I can just type it, but it's language. It's language. Going through in verse 6 here, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. That sounds pretty aggressive to me. You're telling me that this thing untamed is just bound and bent on hellfire, basically. Not my words, the words of Scripture. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't. I'm just reading the words. Remember the rules and to get into the cloud of grace. It's, we have to take this seriously. It's not just me as a church leader up here wanting to control you guys in the, or wanting to control everyone in the way they speak. That's not what this is. This is the word of God. And when Jake talked about those experiences, and I've had several of them in my life, and the most memorable ones I've had are the ones where I've yielded to the will of God. Where I was wanting to do something else, but in yielding is where I had those experiences. And that's what I believe we need to do here as well. And it's going to be, every one of us are at different stages in our life, so it's going to look a little different to every one of us. But I just want us to take it seriously. This isn't a laughing matter. Verse 7 here, for every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's scary. What you're telling me, what the scriptures are saying there, is it's easier for me to go tame an elephant or a rhino. Or a humpback whale or something, than it is for me to tame my tongue. That's literally what it just said there. And we're going to be tempted to think that it's not that big of a deal. Those are the thoughts that that Satan will come and try and put in our heads. Is the truth of what we see in the scripture here, is it going to change the way that we speak? And I alluded to this a little bit before, negative speaking. Now, I'm not for, you know, you sitting there and chanting, you know, I will be healthy, I will be wealthy, I will be rich, and all this other kind of stuff. Those aren't the positive thoughts that we need. The things that we say about ourselves will affect the way that we feel and how effective we are in God's kingdom. If you're always spewing negativity about yourself, oh, I'm good for nothing, I can't do this, I can't do that, and some of that might be attributed to what other people are saying about you, and if we're the person that does that, we need to change that. And how about as parents, when we're sitting or we're in our vehicle or we're sitting at the supper table or we're just in conversation and we say, oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're just being ridiculous and blah, blah, and your children are listening. Do you know that you are forming, you are forming an opinion in your child's heart about that brother or sister? By the words that you're saying. Your child might be totally neutral in a situation, but after hearing you divulge for 15 minutes about how you didn't like what brother or sister so-and-so said or did, they have now got a very clear thought of how what they think about this brother or sister. And that's going to affect the way they interact with that family. That's going to affect the way things go on the churchyard here. So-and-so said so-and-so, and they said this to me, and they said that to me, and brother this, and brother that, and everything, and all that. And next thing you know, we got a big problem on our hands. It's amazing how that quickly just fireballed out of control. The positive thoughts that I'm talking about, the positive words, is let's go here, we'll go to Ephesians. Brother Jake was talking about Ephesians, and I like it too. And I'm just going to read a few verses here for the sake of time. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. According as he hath chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his faith, or of his will, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Read that to yourself every morning and see if that changes your life. I guarantee you it'll make a difference. Those are the positive words that we should be speaking to ourselves and to each other. The things that line up with Scripture. In verse 9 here it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. This is where it might get a little sticky and controversial here, if it hasn't been already. But I just look at things, and having been there myself when I was younger, God made this very real to me. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect at it, but I do really think about it, these adjectives that we use. And I did a quick Google search on what the words were for 2026, and some of them just made absolutely no sense to me. But one I do hear a lot, because I do watch YouTube, is sick and goat. Goat. That's goat, man. Goat. Yeah, so the goats are to the left and the sheep are to the right. Okay, yep. I don't know. I know, hey, man, I didn't write this stuff. So here I am. I'm sitting at a family gathering, and one of my nieces is sick. Sitting on her parents' lap, into the garbage, looking up, looking at some activities, and hurls another big one. And I'm like, that is sick. Please don't call my truck that. Please don't call my preaching that. Please don't call anything I own that. That is disgusting. Especially when the aroma hits you. That is sick. But why would we want to associate something positive with that? Why would we say, hey, check out that car, that's sick, man. Is there sin in that actual saying? No. But are we abiding by the rules? If I stood up here and I said, the word of God is sick. If you follow this stuff, it's goat. Did your respect for me go up or down? Yeah. But it happens all the time. There was a YouTube video I watched just this last week. These people did something on a minivan, and I was pretty impressed with the project they had done. But it was very hard for me to listen to the video, because that's the way these guys talked. And I was like, okay, can you just like shut up? I just want to look at what you're doing. Can you like just type or something? You know, like the words were so distracting. It was so hard for me to appreciate these guys for what they had done just because of their language. It makes a difference. We laugh about it here, but it makes a difference. Language like that, I doubt will be conducive to speaking in tongues. Maybe that is speaking in tongues. Not godly tongues. How about, oh my God, oh my sweet mother of Jesus, oh my stars, oh my land, oh my word, the word of God, the stars belong to Jesus, he made them, the land belongs to Jesus, or God made the land there in Genesis, says so, God is himself. Why do all these things revolve around things that God owns or has created? How come nobody says, oh, my mom? Oh, my wife? Oh, my daughter? How come we don't say that? Why? Why does it always have to be something that has to do with what God has created? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. It just doesn't fit any other way, does it? Because it's called cursing for a reason. You're not going to curse your mother. You're not going to curse your children. Are we going to take it seriously? Or are we just going to, oh, it's no big deal. That doesn't really matter. The choice is yours. But I guarantee you, it will affect the way you live your life. Some of the problem belongs to us older people. In our Plotica language, we have this, I don't even know what you call it, but older people, we refer to them as ye. And it's a form of respect. And a lot of us have bucked at that. And we're wrong. We're wrong. If someone says to me, ye, in my Plotica language, I'm okay with that. If they want to show me respect, I'm okay with that. I don't think I deserve it, but that's okay. I will still allow him to show it. And a lot, and some of the problem in that, in all that, is our, it's our fault as grown-ups. We've bucked at this thing and gone into the other ditch. My children, I really love them, but they're not my BBF. I'm their dad. My children do not call me Henry Clausen. They call me dad or father. So if we go through life and we're just loose with those things, they'll affect the way our children address other people. I like it when my children, if they're at a family gathering, I like it if my children address their aunts and uncles as tonta or uncle in front of their name. Is this a requirement to get into heaven? Absolutely not. Will it change the way you live your life? Yes, it will. The choice is yours. You choose how you want to live. But it will change. It will change the way you think. It will change what you think of each other, the way you speak to each other. If you're constantly using words like sick and goat and whatever and all those as you relate to each other in your circle of friends, your disrespect for each other will drop. I guarantee you that. Verse 11 here, it says, doth a fountain bring send forth At the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either the vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. This isn't my opinion. This is the word of God. The same tongue that just snarked at that sister or that brother because of something they said is the one that's going to go share the gospel with a complete stranger and tell them about the love of God and how great God is. Does that make sense? Let's be honest with ourselves. Does that make sense? I just don't see how we can expect this to work. Again, I'm preaching this to myself as much as I am to anybody else in here. Verse 13 says, "Who is a man that is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." Again, I think this is where, as older brothers, more mature brothers, I think it's up to us to raise this bar in how we train our children, in our own concept of things like what I just mentioned there about being said ye to or something like that. It will make a big difference, and it starts with us. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And this is the work of the devil, and we were talking about deception being very, it's huge. Deception is huge. Anywhere you turn, people are trying to deceive you. They're trying to get your money. They're trying to get your stuff. And if you're not on the ball, they're going to get you. You might say, "Well, Brother Henry, what does this have to do with that?" It does. It starts with how we speak. How we speak is affects the way we think. The way we think affects our ability to discern. It affects our feelings. It affects our heart. It affects everything. If we think this is no big deal, will it take us to hell? I sure hope not, but it could. But I tell you, your life's going to be a lot more complicated. That I know for sure. And we might get deceived. We might have some hard lessons. This is that school of hard knocks. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace." Sometimes, you know, we need to say something to a brother or sister, and maybe it's not something that's not very nice or whatever. And I just look, often when I'm in a situation like that, I look at what Jesus did. If there was someone blatantly, downright, just totally against him or whatever, like the Pharisees were, he said, "Ye hypocrites." He spoke truth. He called them goats, pretty much. Anyways, I want to look at one scripture here where Jesus is talking to. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 10. Start reading in verse 22 here. Sorry, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to them, You're so covetous, you'll never make it, so don't even bother trying. Is that what he said to him? No, it's not what he said. That was the issue, and that is what happened, but it's not what he said. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and father." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest yet. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus basically said the same thing that I just said, except he said it in a very loving way. And he gave that person hope in that rebuke. He showed the love of God and the hope of God in that rebuke. He didn't cut corners. He didn't, there was no partiality in there. There was no hypocrisy in there. He didn't downplay sin. But yet, it was so loving and kind. And that's the way, that's my goal. That's the way I want to speak. I don't want to flatter. I don't want to downplay sin. I want to speak plainly, but in love and hope. So people have something to attain to. And it should be that way for all of us. When we have something that we need to say to someone that might hurt them, that we say it in love. And I think I'm going to leave it right there. But I just think one other thing I had written down here was, you know, 1 John 3:18 says here, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I think that verse just kind of really, really ties everything together. The things that we do have to do with the things that we say. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, that's called the love chapter, and you can read it on your... I would encourage you to read it in the context of James chapter 3. Remember, these are not my words. The only thing in this message that was for me was some of the examples I gave in my own personal life. But in the context of James chapter 3, read 1 Corinthians 13. It was maybe not necessarily one of those big moments that Jake was talking about, but it definitely made me see that chapter in a whole different light. And it made me see how things are just all, they're all connected. Everything that we do in our life, right from when we're young on, the way we're trained, the things we hear, the things we speak, they'll either benefit us in life or they'll be against us. So, Brother Pete, did you want to come up or...